Don't miss the WOR Bridal Show, presented by Bridal Reflections. Tickets are now available. Order online, WOR710.com. That's WOR710.com.
Welcome to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and a special focus program because I get all kinds of books. Books are sent to me because I do an informative program and people want to get their views and their books out on the airwaves. And the vast majority of the books, well, unfortunately, they just are not applicable. But when I got this book, the book that we're going to be talking about today, I found it fascinating. I began reading it with great interest. It is well written. It targets an area that is all too often ignored, and it must be discussed. It's an epidemic of vast proportion that is undermining Americans' health, and it's a subject that we've barely touched on in all the years that we've done this program. The book is entitled The Autoimmune Epidemic: Bodies Gone Haywire in a World Out of Balance. And it's an excellent, detailed discussion of the wide gamut of autoimmune problems that afflict us in modern civilization and the roots of these problems in our diets, our lifestyles, our environments, the products we use. And it's beautifully written by today's guest, Donna Jackson Nakazawa. And Ms. Nakazawa has been a health reporter and lecturer. She's contributed to Parade magazine, the AARP magazine. She's been on ABC News and NPR radio. And in this book, she beautifully articulates what's happening to our bodies in one of the biggest health crises that I think we've ever faced as a species. It's a pleasure having you on the program, Donna. Nice having you on Health Talk.
Thanks so much for having me.
The book is great, and maybe we can start by defining the scope of this problem. What are autoimmune diseases, and how many of us are afflicted by autoimmune problems?
Well, the numbers are staggering. 1 in 12 Americans and 1 in 9 women will develop an autoimmune disorder, and 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, but since it's not clear that every patient with an autoimmune disease is correctly diagnosed, that prevalence is certainly higher.
And in your book, you have an extensive appendix where you list some of the autoimmune diseases. And suffice it to say that just about anything that's an itis could be considered an autoimmune disease, correct?
You know, it's astonishing how many times in spending the last few years researching and working with patients and doctors, I would talk to someone and they would tell me about something they had and they might not even know it was an autoimmune disease. You know, celiac disease is an autoimmune disease. Hashimoto's, juvenile arthritis.
Hashimoto's, which affects the thyroid. So, well, the theme here is that virtually any organ in the body, you pick any organ in the body, it could be the brain, it could be the heart, it could be the kidneys, it could be the intestines, it could be the joints. Any organ of the body is fair game for an autoimmune attack, correct?
Absolutely, and not just organs. Your blood cells in antiphospholipid protein syndrome, your nervous system in multiple sclerosis, Guillain-Barré syndrome, transverse myelitis, any system or organ of the body.
And, of course, one of the ultimate autoimmune diseases is called lupus, and lupus means the wolf, and it was called lupus because it ravages so many different organs.
It can. It certainly can. It can ravage virtually any organ in the body.
And, you know, as I go through this, I see conditions like alopecia areata. That's a hair loss condition. That's
yep.
Autoimmune. Lots of hair loss conditions are autoimmune. And I'm just browsing through this here. Diabetes type 1. A lot
right.
of people don't recognize that diabetes occurs because the cells in the pancreas that make insulin are attacked, and that's an autoimmune condition.
Yes, absolutely. People confuse it with type 2 diabetes, which is quite different. Type 1 diabetes we're actually seeing a 6% rise in young children, 6% a year, and it has nothing to do with obesity. So when people hear that diabetes rates are going up, sometimes they get it confused with type 2 diabetes and think, well, it's just because children are getting heavier. This doesn't have anything to do with that.
No, how can we be so sure that this is on the rise? I mean, isn't there evidence that these types of diseases were here in the time of the pharaohs and that the cavemen had these diseases? And what's going on that we're seeing an increase?
Well, the cavemen I don't have data on, but you're absolutely right.
We have to ask Mel Brooks about that.
We'll have to ask. But we certainly have data that these diseases have been around for a long time. But not in the prevalence they are today. I spent a lot of time with specialists at Johns Hopkins, the head of the transverse myelitis clinic there, who's also a specialist in multiple sclerosis, talks about how transverse myelitis, which is a paralyzing autoimmune disorder, they had 4 cases in the literature a few decades ago, and now they're literally seeing hundreds of cases a year.
And younger and younger patients as well.
Yes. And so the data on some diseases is better than others. In type 1 diabetes and in multiple sclerosis, 2 diseases which have been studied more carefully, we're seeing increases in industrialized countries around the world. Interestingly, immigrants will come to this country from countries that have very low rates of Crohn's disease and other autoimmune diseases of the gastrointestinal system. And they'll come here and they'll develop Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis at the same rates that Americans do and people living in industrialized countries around the world. So the question is, what's happening in industrialized countries to make these rates skyrocket?
And in your book, I mean, your main theme is that it's not just one thing, that there are a multiplicity of factors that may undermine our normal immune response and cause us to be more prone to autoimmune conditions.
Absolutely. It's a perfect storm, if you will, of the diet that we're eating, which is highly processed and full of chemicals. It is the chemicals that we absorb through our skin and through the air we breathe, the heavy metals, the pesticides in our food, the high stress level that we're living with that is affecting the hormonal balances that also help to keep our immune systems in equilibrium. All those things at the same time in the last 100 years have been profoundly affected. You mentioned the caveman. We're not eating the caveman diet anymore. We're eating pretty much everything that comes in boxes and plastic. It's the food in the plastic boxes, but it's also every single thing you come into contact with all day long. You're getting little tiny bits of flame retardants, little tiny bits of Teflon, little tiny bits of everything that is being manufactured in this country, heavy metals. And we know this because we can actually see it in people's blood. So the CDC has done testing and found remnants and small amounts of many different pathogens or chemicals in the blood of every single person they tested. And these studies have been going on for years. Every time one of them comes out, people seem surprised. But in point of fact, you know, in women's breast milk, certain contaminants have been doubling every 5 years. So we know our environment is filling us up like a barrel with these contaminants. We know the food we're putting in our systems is affecting us in negative ways and affecting our immune cells. And we know that the stress level that we're living with isn't healthy. And it's like a barrel. Like you said, it's multifactorial. All of a sudden, there might be that one thing that tips your barrel.
And your cup runneth over. Okay,
your cup runneth over.
All right. And so when we return, you have beautifully given us a vignette in this book, fictionalized but very real account of a day in the life of a potential autoimmune patient. When we return, we're going to talk about what it is in our daily lives that contributes to our risk of autoimmune disease. And we're going to look at dietary solutions and other aspects of how we can prevent ourselves from Succumbing to the Autoimmune Epidemic. It's a new book by today's guest, Donna Jackson Nakazawa. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Health Talk.
710 WOR. Real life, real people, real talk radio.
Back to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ron Hoffman. Over 23 million Americans, that's 1 in 12, suffer from an autoimmune disease. And we're talking to Donna Jackson Nakazawa, author of The Autoimmune Epidemic. It's a great book, and I'm going to put it on my must-read list for my patients, many of whom have autoimmune diseases. And Donna, one of my favorite parts of the book is a few pages where you describe a day in the life of someone who is inadvertently putting themselves at risk of autoimmune disease. What are some of the components?
Well, I have to say, these were two families that I followed, and basically...
So this isn't fictional. This is just observation.
This is observation. For the privacy of those families, I put them together, and I followed them through the day, and followed everything scientifically through what they were coming in contact with that might be overstimulating their immune system. And, you know, first they woke up on a new mattress full of flame retardant.
Which actually had been now demonstrated to definitely cause autoimmune thyroiditis in pets. We know that. The brominated polyphenols,
You've got it.
whatever.
Right. Well, yeah, absolutely. And those, it doesn't so specifically cause autoimmune disease as it causes, we can see, because it's very difficult to see autoimmune disease caused in humans. We have to look at rats and we have to look at occupational studies of people.
But the veterinarians are seeing it.
Yeah, they are. And we can see in animals that reactivity in the immune system with PBDEs. So they wake up on a new mattress. Mattresses are absolutely saturated, as are new cars. Every cushion you sit on.
And people value that new car smell, right? They said, mmm.
Yeah, you know how it's so delicious.
Suck it in, inhale it.
Right. And all those are off-gassing for a long period of time, which means these little molecules come out, and they actually get in the dust in our homes, in our cars. As one scientist said, you know that little layer of dust that builds up on your dashboard? It's not dust. It's the breaking down of these heavy components of plastics and flame retardants in the environment around us. So they go from there, this nice padded mattress, to slicing up the cantaloupe for breakfast. And cantaloupe is heavily blasted, unless it's organic, with endosulfans and other pesticides. And pesticides, we know from occupational studies, people who work with pesticides, in a study of 300,000 people, are more likely to die of autoimmune disease. One of the moms sprays a small line of ants in her kitchen, more pesticides. And how about that little circle of pesticides you put on your dog and cats on their back so they don't get ticks?
Mm-hmm. It must be pretty effective, because you put it on the neck and yet it keeps the fleas away from the pet's tail. So it's probably broadcasting the chemicals throughout the room.
That's right. And we think that those things are static, but they're not. Our kids hug the dog or cat around the neck, or we carry the kitten around. And as the day goes on, you're following this family, and she's walking across the street with her newborn baby and steps, as we all have at some point in our lives, into a spewing blast of diesel exhaust, which is delivering all kinds of dioxins into her bloodstream and that of her newborn baby, whose organs are still developing and vulnerable.
I love it when she thinks she's so healthy by continuing to breastfeed her child, but she nukes the breast milk in a plastic container, thereby releasing lots of toxic phthalates into the breast milk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, she's trying to be, they drive a hybrid, this family, and they're trying to be as health conscious as they can. But at a certain point in the day, her breast milk won't let down, and she has some from the night before, and she warms it up. She's not totally blasting it. She's just getting a little bit warm.
Take the chill off.
taken the chill off, and as a result, she is absolutely forcing bits of that plastic, phthalates and other things, endocrine disruptors, which kind of get into the system and make, it's kind of like your radio waves. They interfere with the radio waves in our endocrine system, if you want to use that metaphor. And they send disinformation that can then cause our immune cells to become overactivated.
Listeners to this radio show have some difficulties sometimes from a competing station in Cuba, I understand. So I understand that analogy. You know, the big story this week, babies absorb phthalates from baby products. This is from Pediatrics this month. So this story is in the news. This is not just old information you're dredging up. It's hot stuff. A new study suggests that baby lotion, baby powder, and baby shampoo may be exposing babies to potentially harmful chemicals called phthalates. Hey, I thought baby shampoo was the purest, you know, most natural thing, you know, wouldn't irritate babies' sensitive skin and eyes.
It's all about the labels. It's all about reading the backs of the labels. You'll see increasingly in health food stores that you can buy phthalate-free baby products. There are a number of companies that make them. And you have to worry about that not just for the baby that mom is holding, but mom herself. Your skin is your biggest organ, and the majority of major cosmetics are filled with phthalates and parabens, which are a type of plastic binder that also can get into the skin and mess with our normal immune activity. So, in fact, the family that I follow through the day, she lathers that cream all over her face not long after picking up her dry cleaning.
Moisturizer. Oh, yes. And the dry cleaning. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And dry cleaners, again, and I apologize for any dry cleaners out there, but mm-hmm. dry cleaners are more likely to develop autoimmune disease, as are people who have worked in any kind of munitions or degreasing.
What's the chemical that is so prevalent in dry cleaning?
Trichloroethylene, TCE.
TCE.
For short,
mm-hmm. Right.
TCE. One of the most
not a bad idea. Maybe if you're going to get your clothes dry cleaned the old fashioned way, is to like maybe hang it out on the balcony or in the garage for a few hours before you bring it inside into your bedroom, so you can inhale the vapors while you sleep.
Absolutely. Or you know, more and more we're finding organic dry cleaners.
More and more we're seeing that. Yes.
Now sometimes you have to drive half an hour to get to one, but it may be worth it to save your dry cleaning and do that. And particularly for people who are raising children, we have to remember that pound for pound, kids absorb more in what they eat and what we put on their skin for their body weight far more than we do.
And especially in products like juices, which are sort of a concentrate. And if they're not made from organic sources, they may actually concentrate the pesticides used in certain fruits. What are some of the fruits? You mentioned cantaloupes. What other fruits to watch out for? Apples, I guess, too.
Apples, strawberries, anything that heavily absorbs through its skin. I mean, you're going to be a little less worried about a banana because you're going to peel its skin away. But then again, if it's from a country that has absolutely no pesticide standards, you're going to want to watch out for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing you can do for your kids in terms of their diet is to feed them organic whole fruits and vegetables and consider a whole foods diet,
we're big proponents of that.
Yeah.
But, okay, when we return, we're going to tackle some other elements of the autoimmune epidemic. That's the title of a book by today's guest, Donna Jackson Nakazawa. We're going to consider something she talks about called the hygiene hypothesis and how our modern way of life may contribute to the development of these devastating diseases. This is Health Talk. Real Talk Radio. Back to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The autoimmune epidemic affects over 23 million Americans. We're talking about it with author Donna Jackson Nakazawa. It's a great book, Donna. I really think you've done a marvelous job in a real scientific way, in a balanced way, looking at the facts behind this autoimmune epidemic. And among the issues is something that's called the hygiene hypothesis. Can you explain what that means?
Well, the hygiene hypothesis is the idea that instead of our immune systems going haywire because they're so barraged by an onslaught of dirty things, you know, TCE, mercury, dioxin, the things that we've been talking about. In fact, the opposite is true in the hygiene hypothesis. The idea is that our immune systems aren't going haywire because we're living in a world that's too dirty. It's that we're living in a world that's too clean.
Too antiseptic.
Too antiseptic. Think about it. You know, 100 years ago, you didn't have well-vacuumed homes or scrubbed bathrooms and kitchens, and you didn't live your life as a child in a minivan. You were mucking through the woods in the forest or your parents' farm. You didn't have massive vaccination schedules that prevented full-fledged infections, and so on and so forth. So the hygiene hypothesis holds that we just aren't exposing our children's immune systems to enough stuff. So when they encounter some kind of pathogen or infection, they're more likely to develop a response against it. Now, this is controversial in the scientific community, and there are plenty of people at top institutions who do not agree at all with this. They think it's too easy, and they think that it misses the point.
And well, yeah, but there's some evidence along these lines. I remember as kids, we used to chant the ditty, "I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I live in a garbage can. I eat all the worms. I spit out the germs. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man." And it sounds crazy, but we're actually feeding people these days, under experimental conditions, people with ulcerative colitis, a major autoimmune disease, we're feeding them worms. And you talk about
the
book.
We are. Actually, I want to be clear about that. We're feeding
Don't try this at home.
These are very controlled studies, and they're a type of pig worm, not the kind of worms that give you Giardia or mm-hmm. other parasite diseases.
Which are bad worms.
Which actually can really impact people with autoimmune disease.
Yeah, devastating,
actually,
devastating.
Yeah, have a devastating effect. So 99.9% of parasites in the gut are bad. Pig worms are controllable, and the idea is that they, because Crohn's is a disease where the immune system begins to attack the intestines and create these terrible ulcers, the idea is that if you can get these pigworms in there and your immune system can begin to attack those pigworms, it will lay off of your intestinal walls. And to some extent, it's a very small study, I know, you know, and it hasn't been repeated widely. But there is some success with this. And it's
right, there are patients in Europe using this therapy. I happen to know several. I have some patients who are they're transcontinental patients, and they can go over to Europe and experience the benefits of this.
Right.
And they're getting relatively better with their ulcerative colitis. And some there's a new study looking at multiple sclerosis with the same type of therapy. So
absolutely.
There may be something to the notion that an immune system which isn't busy fighting off external invaders gets bored and starts to attack itself, something along those lines.
Absolutely, and I liken it to, you know, we all know what. Take an old woman, elderly woman who's living in a home by herself, and, you know, a piece of mail comes but says something that's confusing to her. She's going to get very agitated about that. But for other people for whom the day is full of agitation, something like that is going to be relatively simple. So it is a matter of how much we're exposed to. However, it may be that two things are working in tandem, that in point of fact, we're undereducating our immune systems for certain natural things in the environment, certain childhood diseases, and like you said, you know, your Popeye food. and at the same time that you're overwhelming it with the 80,000 chemicals, mm-hmm. and byproducts of those chemicals in a kind of toxic stew that our immune systems have never come into contact before except in the last 100 years. So we're undereducating our immune system at the same time that we, in terms of our evolution, we've outpaced ourselves in our ability to keep up with the new barrage of things coming through our food.
We can't process it. It's too much.
Right.
And then add to that the effects of chronic stress, because clearly modern life is fraught with stress. And what does that do to our immune response?
Well, we can see very clearly in studies of humans as well as animals that a kind of chronic low-grade stress, and I think every listener will know what I'm talking about, it's the deadline that has to be met at work before you rush off to pick up the children, before you rush off to go worry about figuring out how to pay those bills, before you go take care of your mom who needs to get to an appointment, and at the end of the day, it's as if you're living like a cat with a dog barking at you all day long.
And it's clear that, and scientific studies show that high levels of cortisol, which is a stress hormone, or high levels of adrenaline, have the effect of undermining some of our immune responses, certainly changing them, making us more susceptible to various types of insults. So maybe that's just the leavening that bakes the cake of autoimmunity when all the other factors are present.
Well, it's a perfect storm, and you said it perfectly. It is even a low dose of this sort of chronic stress cortisol will do things to our immune system. To put it very simply, it'll kind of keep our immune system too active. Our immune system is supposed to put the brakes on and say occasionally, nothing to worry about. It's supposed to just every once in a while give you a rest. But with that, what they call slow drip cortisol effect, or call it the barking dog effect, you can't get a rest. Your gas pedal is always on. And when that gas pedal is always on, you're telling your immune system, go overdrive, drive too fast. And that is, in effect, what autoimmune disease is. Mm-hmm. The immune system isn't shutting down when it's supposed to. It's going on to attack you rather than the foreign things that are coming into your body. And we know with MS patients, you can actually see elevated levels of certain stress hormones in their body. Of course, is it the chicken or the egg? So those studies are not complete, but it is interesting. We do know that high stress levels affect what we were looking at earlier, the barrel effect. It's mm-hmm. part of what makes that barrel tip over.
All right. When we return, we're going to take a look at dietary factors that influence autoimmune disease. Certainly our diets are a lot different than what they were in the Stone Age when our bodies evolved, but there's some clues as to what we should be doing to turn down the volume on autoimmunity from our guest Donna Jackson Nakazawa. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Health Talk.
710 WOR, Real Talk Radio.
Back to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about the autoimmune epidemic, a great new book by today's guest, Donna Jackson Nakazawa. And Donna, clearly there's some factors in the diet that can precipitate this and some factors that may ameliorate it. We don't have that much time in this segment, but can you summarize them briefly?
Well, we want to make sure with anybody with autoimmune disease and anyone hoping to avoid it that you're eating a diet that is non-antigenic. And basically what that means is that you have little things in our food, little chemicals and byproducts in our food that may actually be overstimulating your immune system. And one of the most important things to do is ensure that your GI tract is thriving. The best way to do that is to eat a non-inflammatory diet. Things that are inflammatory are non-whole foods. And so you want to stick to a whole foods diet that includes, whole, organic, free-range turkey and chicken and lamb and
chemical-free to the extent possible.
Exactly. Fruits and vegetables that are organic. And there is a really clear autoimmune diet that helps people tremendously when they do have autoimmune disease. Massive number of studies done on people with ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease who are helped a lot by going on a diet that is non-antigenic or an autoimmune diet.
Now, one food category that you did not emphasize, and often people do in a healthy diet, is lots and lots of whole grains, the basis of the food pyramid. But there's some pitfalls there, correct?
Well, gluten For people with celiac disease, you need to avoid gluten foods, but many of the top people in the country who work on diet with autoimmune disease patients, they ask them to avoid all gluten.
Me included. That's fundamental to my approach to patients with autoimmune disease.
Absolutely, because even though they're not testing positive for celiac disease, the grains that we eat are processed in such a way that they are antigenic or causing a sort of hyperactivity of the immune system in many, many people who do not test positive for allergies to grains. So the autoimmune diet really means switching to alternative whole grains. And a simple way of looking at what is a whole grain is to think of what it's not, and that is anything that has to be beaten to a pulp and heated at high heats and then mashed up and then have preservatives and emulsifiers and texturizers and flavors and coloring added is not a whole food. It looks like one, but it's actually not one. So getting things as close to nature as you possibly can. And there are a number of supplements as well.
Right.
That if someone works...
You mentioned several in the book.
Yeah. If you work closely with a doctor, because you need to work with a doctor who knows what you're already taking, what medications you're on, and who can help you ensure that you're getting good, healthy sources of supplements.
And a promising new story on vitamin D these days in relation to autoimmune diseases. You
Very
talk about
promising.
It in the book.
A striking body of data shows that having higher levels of vitamin D in the blood lowers the risk of developing multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis. I would say vitamin D is one of the best preventative things that you can do, or one of the best things that you can do to ameliorate autoimmune disease if you already have one.
And fish oil, also important. Natural anti-inflammatory, and many studies are looking at conditions like MS, rheumatoid arthritis, ulcerative colitis, and Crohn's in relationship to omega-3 levels.
In fact, one study shows that a higher dietary intake of omega-3 fatty acids is well associated with a lowered risk of autoimmunity in children who have been at genetic risk of type 1 diabetes, because it tends to run in families. And they're seeing it have some preventative effect for kids who are at a high risk. In virtually every major autoimmune disease, nutritional supplement enriched with fish oil and also antioxidants reduces the symptoms of disease. So this is something people need to work with their doctors on, because they need to make sure that they're getting a good, clean source of essential fatty acids and antioxidants, and that they're not, you know, taking too much for their system, or that these things are compatible with whatever drugs they're taking. But this is scientific research. You know, these are supplements that have been very well studied and can be extremely important in the daily care of autoimmune disease.
All right. More on the subject of the autoimmune epidemic, a new book by today's guest, How to Avoid the Ravages of These Many Diseases That Afflict Tens of Millions of Americans. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Health Talk.
710 WOR. Real life, real people, real talk radio.
Back to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. A reminder, you can get a podcast of the show at WOR710.com. Also, great website, www.autoimmuneepidemic.com. That's the website of Donna Jackson Nakazawa. And Donna, the remaining, we just have about a minute or so, but one of the more controversial aspects of the book, suggesting that autism may be an autoimmune condition where vaccines and mercury may be implicated in the insult.
Well, that is controversial, but there are people at Johns Hopkins who are working on the idea that autism is autoimmune in nature. And we know that kids who have autism have often had an awful lot of vaccines. We know that this is huge controversy in our country. I certainly am not trying to say that having autism means that you've had too much mercury, and the mercury has caused autoimmunity.
In other words, it's not a one-to-one correspondence, just like other autoimmune conditions, maybe it's the multiplicity of factors, genetic and environmental and vaccines.
And viral, by the way.
And viral, yes.
And viral. Infectious. And it may be that all these things convene together in some way. It's a question that we have to ask. In certain kids who have a genetic predisposition, vaccines maybe not being the most important of these things. Maybe a virus at a certain point in time, or maybe other chemicals that we're not even looking at. But all these things coalesce in one child at one moment, and what they cause is for the immune system to become too active in the brain. And that may be part of what we're looking at with autism. It may turn out 10 years from now that we see autism in part as an inflammatory autoimmune response. A lot of more research has to be done on that, but I think we're going to keep collecting autoimmune diseases as the years go by.
Unfortunately, the toll will mount, and I must commend you for a wonderful, balanced, well-researched, thoroughly documented book. The autoimmune epidemic is going to become a favorite of mine for recommending to my patients.
Well, I can't thank you enough.
My pleasure. Donna Jackson Nakazawa, and the website is autoimmuneepidemic.com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks for joining us. This is Health Talk.
Hi, everyone. It's Joan Hamburg telling you about the 2008 WOR Bridal Show presented by Bridal Reflections. What a ball we're going to have at the Metropolitan Pavilion Sunday, February 10th. Fabulous food, just like a wedding from the Park Steakhouse. The best fashion show you've ever seen. Unbelievable prizes. You must call for your tickets, 800-568-3789 or online WOR710.com. $34.95 a ticket, 800-568-3789 or WOR710.com.
You've been listening to a podcast of Health Talk with Dr. Ronald Hoffman from WOR 710 HD, New York. Log on to WOR710.com for more information.